Boker Tov, we are continuing in our analysis of the Mishnayot of Perek Daled, and subsequent to the description of the terrible events that took place on the 17th of Tammuz and the Tisha B'Av historically, we get the beginning of the presentation of our halachic response to these tragedies, which is Mishnichnas Av Ma'atin B'Simcha. From the time that the month of Av enters, we diminish our rejoicing. And then later on, we get specifics about the week of Tisha B'Av and the meal before Tisha B'Av. Now, it's important to note that this is a relatively rare transmission sequence of Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, means Rav Shilat's grandson, in the name of Rav. And the reason that's significant will come up in a moment. Kashem Shimishinichnas Avamatin Basimcha Kain Kach Mishinichnas Adar Mamarbin Basimcha. A very famous adage of when the month of Adar enters, we begin rejoicing, is essentially built off of, as an inverse, from the beginning of the month of Av, we diminish our rejoicing. So in Amar Papa, there's a halachic implication of that. Hilkach, Bar Yisrael, De'itle Dina Bahani Nochri, if a Jew has a court case against a non-Jew, the shtamit minei ba'av, he should avoid going to court against him during the month of Av, derea mazli, because he'll have bad fortune then. V'limtzi nafshe v'adu debari mazli, and he should try to rearrange the court date for the month of Adar when he has good fortune. Right? He doesn't point out here, by the way, he doesn't note that the court case that in Av, which is in a bad time, is during the first week of Av. It seems to be any part of the month of Av. And rescheduling, it doesn't have to be during the first 2 weeks of Adar until Purim, but any time during the month of Adar. And indeed, it's a question whether or not the adage of Mishenichnas Adam Arbin Besimcha, from the moment of the onset of the month of Adar, we begin rejoicing, which, by the way, does not show up in Mechsechet Megillah, it only shows up here, whether that applies to the entire month or it's just from the beginning of the month until Purim. We may get a hint to that in a dispute coming up a little bit later on this morning. As I mentioned, this particular tradition of Rav Yehuda Bereder Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat quoting Rav is relatively rare, so the Gemara tangentially and associatively brings two other statements in his name which have nothing to do with our topic. One of them is the interpretation of the verse in Yirmiyahu Chavtet, Latet Lachem Acharit V'Tikva, to give you something to look forward to. This is Yirmiyahu's famous letter to the exiles in Babylonia. So I'm Yehuda Bereder Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei D'Rav. What is this? Elud Kalim Uchlei Fishtan. This is referring to date trees and to or palm trees and to linen clothes, things that last for a long time, things that if you invest in now, you will have for a long time. And the other drasha of his is the verse that Yitzchak exclaims when Yaakov appears to him in Esav's garments, Vayomer Re'eya Re'e Re'ach B'ni K'Re'ach Sader She'Berecho Adonai, see that my son's smell is like the smell of a field that God has blessed. V'yudah B'reidu Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei D'Rav. This is quoted by Rashi in his commentary on Chumash. K'Re'ach Sader Shel Tapuchim, like the sweet smells of an apple orchard. The halacha then delineated in the Mishnah what we are to avoid during the Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av Liopetochom, meaning the week of Tisha B'Av, meaning whatever week it is in which Tisha B'Av falls out during that week from Sunday on. Which means, by the way, if you have a year in which, like we had a couple of years ago, where Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday, then there is no Shavua Shechalbo. There's a discussion in the Rishonim what happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat. Is the entire week beforehand considered Shavua Shechalbo, even though the fast will only be on Sunday? Or is there no such thing as the Ritva rules in one of his Tshuvot that there is no Shavua Shechalbo? In any case, the Gemara now analyzes the prohibition mentioned in the Mishnah of taking haircuts and doing laundry during the week of Tisha B'Av, which is suspended on Thursday because of Kvod Shabbat. And that will help us discern some of the parameters of this halacha. I'm Rav Nachman, Loshanu El Lachabes V'Lobosh. So Rav Nachman says that the prohibition is simply to launder the clothes and then wear them during this time. But just to launder them in order to clean them and then put them aside till afterwards, mutar is permissible during the entire week. Rav Sheshet Amar Afilu Lachabes V'Lobosh Asur. Rav Sheshet says no, even doing laundry to put the clothes aside, laundry itself is asur. I'm Rav Sheshet Teda, and Rav Sheshet proves it by saying, I can prove to you the Batli Katsu Devei Rav, in Rav's house, the launderers were off that week. They didn't do any work, even though they, according to Rav Nachman, could have laundered to save some work for next week. They weren't allowed to do it. Now, Meitir Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna challenges Rav Nachman by saying, Machamishim Utam Nechvar HaShabbat. As I mentioned, this is a significant caveat. The Mishnah says that although they're prohibited during the week from doing laundry and taking haircuts, on Thursday it's permissible because of Kvod Shabbat. So now, Lamai, what is it that they want to do? Ilem elachabes filabosh, to wash the clothes and put them on Thursday? My Kvod Shabbatika, what kind of Kvod Shabbos is it to put on clothes on Thursday? El alahaniach, it must be that the permission that's given on Thursday is to do laundry and then to put it aside for later. Which means, it's only on Thursday you're allowed to do that. About Shabbat Kula, the rest of the week, Asur. So that means you're not allowed to do laundry, even to set it aside, during the rest of the week. And on Thursday, you're allowed to do it to set it aside for Shabbat. No, perhaps there's a defense to Rav Nachman. Le'olam l'chabes v'lebosh. Really, we could be talking about laundering and wearing it immediately. And the reason that they would have allowed it on Thursday is u'ksheinu ala chaluk echad. We're talking about a fellow who only has one garment, one outer garment. And so, de'amar avatsi amar b'yochanan, u'ksheinu ala chaluk echad, mutal chapso b'chulo shel moed. A somewhat parallel prohibition is the prohibition of doing laundry on Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Yochanan said, even though you're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, if you only have one outer garment, you're allowed to wash it on Chol HaMoed. So you take it off for a while and wash it and put it back on. So in the same way, if somebody has only one garment and he wants it to be nice for Shabbat, Friday there's not enough time to wash it properly. So he can wash it Thursday when it's Kvod Shabbat and then put it on. And that is Kvod Shabbat. So we've defended Rav Nachman's position that the only prohibition is washing and then wearing, and that that's suspended on Thursday. But it still seems to be a little bit difficult. And we'll have the following proof against in favor of Sheshet. Imar Nami, Rav Binyamin Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Shanu El Chabeis Ulevosh V'Lahaniach Mutar. So Elazar said the same thing as Rav Nachman, that it's permissible in any case to do laundry as long as you're not going to wear the clothes immediately. Meitav Asur L'Chabeis Evnei Tisha B'Av Filo Laniach La'Achar Tisha B'Av. But here we have an explicit braita that says you are not allowed to, or an explicit statement that says you are not allowed to do laundry during this week, even to leave it over till after Tisha B'Av, which means that l'chabes u'laniach is prohibited. And parenthetically, that statement says v'gihut shalanu k'gibush shalan. By the way, this is not a braita because this is a Babylonian statement. It says gihut shalanu, our ironing is like their laundry. In other words, the laundry done in Eretz Yisrael was done with more intensity, and there were no processes done afterwards. That was the complete process. What we do in Bavel as laundry is an insignificant process. It's only the ironing or the pressing, whatever it is, that's the end of the process, which means what we do as laundry in Bavel is permissible in any case because it's not the complete process. So parenthetically, they say linen clothes are not considered to be ironed. In other words, the doing linen clothes, processing them, is not a prohibition. But in any case, it's tiyufta. This disproves Rav Nachman's position because it explicitly says here that you're not allowed to launder these clothes, even to put them aside. Shalach Rav Yitzchak Bar Giyori Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a tradition named Rabbi Yochanan. Afal pi shamru klei fishtayim behem mishum giyutz. So in Eretz Yisrael, they said that even though we say linen clothes are not considered to be ironed, asur lo shan b'shabbat shachal tisha b'av liyor petocha, but still, you're not allowed to clean them and to put them on during that week of Tisha B'Av. So it sounds like we have sort of three levels. One is things which we're perfectly allowed to do, which is laundry in Bavel. Do it and put it on. It's not considered real laundry. The second thing is laundering linen clothes and pressing them, which even though you're allowed to do the laundering and pressing, you're not allowed to put them on. And then there's full laundry, including pressing, of other clothes, wool clothes, which you're not allowed to do, even to put it aside. Tov, now we have a question about the time parameter. The Mishnah said that during the week of Tisha B'Av, you are not allowed to do take haircuts and do laundry. And then it said on Thursday you're allowed to do it Mikvod Shabbat. So how are we imagining the prohibition? Is the prohibition from Sunday until Tisha B'Av, or is it the entire week, even if Tisha B'Av's in the middle? This we have Machloket, Rav and Shmuel, how to interpret. Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Alefanav, the prohibition is only before Tisha B'Av, Avali acharav mutar. After Tisha B'Av, it's permissible. Shmuel amar afilu lacharav nami asur. Shmuel said even after Tisha B'Av, it's prohibited. So today we have a proof against Shmuel. Shabbat shechaliot Tisha B'Av liot betocha, the week of Tisha B'Av, asur lasaper l'chabes, v'chamishim mitar minich v'ra Shabbat, which is our Mishnah. You're not allowed to take a haircut and do laundry, and on Thursday you're allowed to, because of Kvod Shabbat. And now the Braita explicates, ketzad, chaliot b'chad b'Shabbat, if Tisha B'Av was on Sunday, so mitar l'chabes, kol Shabbat kula, the rest of the week you could do laundry. Meaning that the prohibition is only up until Tisha B'Av. V'sheni v'shlishir v'i v'chamishi, if Tisha B'Av was any time of Monday through Thursday, then you're only prohibited from doing laundry up until Tisha B'Av, but afterwards, so if it's on a Wednesday, after Wednesday you're allowed to do it. If it's on a Tuesday, after Tuesday you're allowed to do it. Which is clearly supportive of Rav. By the way, there's no way Shmuel can defend himself against this Braita unless he has some other source. So there's no way to interpret this differently. If Tisha B'Av is on Friday, which in our calendar can't happen, but in the times of the Mishnah could, Mutar l'chabes b'chamishi. Then you're allowed to do laundry on Thursday. That's what our Mishnah is referring to, Kvod Shabbat. B'nech v'ra Shabbat. V'im lo kibes b'chamishi b'Shabbat. Let's say you didn't do laundry on Thursday, and Tisha B'Av's on Friday. Mutar l'chabes b'Av Shabbat min ha-mincha l'mala. In the afternoon of Friday, meaning Tisha B'Av itself, in the afternoon, you're allowed to do laundry. Parenthetically, layet ala abaye v'item ravacha bar Yaakov aha. Abaye, or perhaps ravacha bar Yaakov, cursed this. Now the question is, does it mean he would curse anybody who would rely on that leniency and do laundry on Tisha B'Av itself when it was Friday afternoon? Or did he curse the statement as if to say that shouldn't be publicized or that's a wrong statement? A little bit unclear, but either way, he certainly, either Abai or Rachab Yaakov, was not in favor of this leniency. Now the Braita continues. That's an interjection. The Braita continues. Chali opesheni v'chamishi if Tisha B'Av is on a Monday or Thursday when we're reading the Torah anyways. Korin shloshah u'maftir achad. This is something we will see in greater detail at the end of Masechet Megillah in a few weeks. Korin shloshah u'maftir achad. You have three aliyot, three people are called to the Torah, and one of them reads also from the Nevi'im. B'shlishi u'vi'i, but if it's on Tuesday or Wednesday, which also would be true about Sunday and Friday, korei achad u'maftir achad. You have one aliyah and one person reading from the Nevi'im. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Mar Leolam, korin shloshah u'maftir achad. That's our halacha, of course. That we always have three aliyot, even if it's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Friday or a Sunday. We have three aliyot and one maftir. But in any case, our braita is a tiyuf to the Shmuel. Our braita disproves Shmuel because it explicitly says that after Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to do laundry and take haircuts, etc. So, Amar Lecha Shmuel, this is what Shmuel could answer. Tanai, it's a machloka tanaim. In other words, that braita represents the opinion of one Tana, but there are other tanaim who disagree, and my position is like those other tanaim who say that the prohibition does not end with Tisha B'Av, it's the entire week of Tisha B'Av that is encased in sadness, and that therefore, just because the fast has passed, doesn't mean that we suddenly are able to do all of these things of normal life. The Tanya, we have the following braita that gives three different opinions about the range of the prohibitions. Tisha B'Av shechal liot b'Shabbat. Let's say Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos. The Braita starts with a side issue as far as we're concerned. Tisha B'Av is on Shabbat. V'chein erev Tisha B'Av shechal liot b'Shabbat. If Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, which means Shabbat is erev Tisha B'Av. Ochel v'shoteh kol tzarko. You eat and drink whatever you want. There's no limitations. There is no avilut on Shabbat. U'maleh al shulchano afilu kriskudeh kuzinat shlomo b'shato. You could put on your table a royal feast like Shlomo's. In other words, Even if Tisha B'Av itself is on Shabbat, or Tisha B'Av is coming right after Shabbat, you have a full Shabbat meal and don't withhold anything. But here we go. The prohibition of laundry and haircuts, which are associated with mourning, starts from Rosh Chodesh until the fast. In other words, after the fast, it's permitted, but they start not at the week of Tisha B'Av, but at Rosh Chodesh. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir. Now, that's not Shmuel's position, of course. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol ha-chodesh kulo asur. He said the whole month, it's like a month of shloshim, 30 days of prohibition, meaning that before and after the fast is all the same. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, eno asur ela otah Shabbat bilvad. Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's the entire week. But that means the week of Tisha B'Av, before and after, are the same. And Shmuel is simply taking Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position that the entire week of Tisha B'Av is asur. V'tanya idach, we have another braita that says the same thing. V'noheg evam rosh chodesh v'yadach tanit v'ra. Meir says, you behave, here he doesn't give explicit examples, of haircuts and laundry, but rather you behave as a mourner from Rosh Chodesh on until the fast. That seems to be Rav's position, at least on the end time that it ends at the fast. The entire month, bilvad. Good, same three positions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explains, echad darshu. And three of them all interpreted the same pasuk. And it's pasuk 3 on the page. God promises in Hosea, I'm going to cancel all of her rejoicing. Her festivals, her Shabbat, and her months. Right? Months here referring to Rosh Chodesh. In other words, all of these festive things will be canceled out. And so now, the one who says that from Rosh Chodesh, Aratanit, which is Remeir, Michaga, he's interpreting the word Chag, because a Chag is a week, so it's about a week from Rosh Chodesh to Tisha B'Av. Mandamar Kulo Asur, the one who says the whole month is Asur, Michodsha, because God says, I will cancel out her months. Even though it's Rosh Chodesh, he takes it as Chodesh. Mandamar Kulo Shabbat Kula Asur, and the one who says the entire week is Asur, Mishabbata. In other words, God says, I am going to bring destruction, and I will cancel out your celebrations of festivals, and of weeks, and of months. And so you can look at each one of them and say, so our mourning has to be the length of a festival, or the length of a week, or the length of a month. Amar Rava, halacha kar Shimon Gamliel. So Rava says the halacha follows from Shimon Gamliel, ve Amar Rava halacha kar Meir, which is contradictory. What he meant was both of them are lenient, meaning we start, like Rav Shimon Gamliel says, only at the week of Tisha B'Av, not the beginning of the month, and we end, like Rav Meir, at the fast. Utsricha, and I need both statements. The Yashmin Halacha Rav Meir, if I said the Halacha is like Rav Meir, Havi Amena Afilim Rosh Chodesh. I would have thought that you have to start like Rav Meir said at Rosh Chodesh. That's why he has to say the Halacha is Rav Shimon Gamliel, that we start on the Sunday of the week of Tisha B'Av. If he had just said, I would have thought he agrees with Shmuel. I would think that the mourning continues even after Tisha B'Av. That's why he said, that at the fast it stops. Good. The next piece of the Mishnah said, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin. That a person should not eat two cooked dishes on Erev Tisha B'Av. Well, is that all day? Is that every meal? Amar Rav Yehuda lo shanu ela mishesh sha'ot ulamala. Rav Yehuda says it's only in the afternoon, from midday on. Aval mishesh sha'ot ulamata, but in the morning, mutar, you can have a full meal, many cooked dishes, etc. V'yam Rav Yehuda lo shanu ela besudam afsikba. He said something else, is that the limitation of only one cooked dish, and of meat and wine, etc., are only at the last meal, the meal with which you're stopping, you're eating and starting your fast. If it's another meal, even in the afternoon, mutar. Both of them are lenient, meaning, if he'd only told me the second ruling, which is that it's only the meal that you stop, I might think that if for some reason you're having your fasting meal, your last meal in the morning, you still have to have only one cooked item. Kamash Malan, that's why he said, that it's only in the afternoon. If he had only said in the afternoon, I would think even if he's having an early lunch at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he would still have to limit himself with meat and wine, etc. Right? That's why he said the first ruling, which is only the final meal. Good. Tanya Kaleshna Kama, Tanya Kaleshna Baitra. We have a Braita that supports Rav Yehuda's first statement, and we have a Braita that supports Rav Yehuda's second statement. And by the way, they're not in conflict, of course. They complement each other to create essentially a very large leniency. Tanya Kaleshna Batra, what's the braita that supports the second phrasing? Hasoed Erev Tisha B'Av, when you eat on Erev Tisha B'Av, imatid lis'od suda acheret. If you're going to have another meal, mutar l'chol basar v'lishtot yayin, you could have meat, you could drink wine. V'imlav asur l'chol basar v'lishtot yayin, but if you're not going to have another meal, in other words, if this is the last meal before the fast, then you're not allowed to have meat or drink wine. Now, of course, parenthetically, and we could have said this at any point in this study, our custom is to avoid meat and wine from Rosh Chodesh Av. Others have the custom of avoiding it from the week of, but certainly there is nobody who has the custom of only avoiding meat and wine during the final meal. But nonetheless, that is the essential halacha of basar and yayin. And why is it that basar and yayin are prohibited? Well, there's two possible explanations. There's an interjection, but now is as good a time as any. One of them is because an onain, someone who has a loved one has passed away and has not yet buried them, is not allowed to eat meat or drink wine. And the only reason, as the Gemara said earlier, that we allow a mourner to eat meat and drink wine is because he's in trauma, he's in shock, and he needs it to revive himself. Here, this is a mourning that we can schedule. We know when Rosh Chodesh Av is, we know when Erev Tisha B'Av is, so we can avoid those things. The other one is based on the Gemara at the end of the third parak of Bava Batra, at the end of Chazkat HaBatim, that with the destruction of the Mikdash, there were ascetics who vowed abstinence from meat and wine because those are things that were brought on the altar, and how can we possibly drink wine when there's no altar, etc. And so Rabbi Yeshua finally convinced them to moderate their mourning. So one of those two reasons may be playing, or both of them. Tanya Kolesh Nakama, back to the Gemara, we have a Braita that supports Rabbi Yehuda's first statement, about 6 hours. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yechal adam shtei tavshilin, lo yechal basar v'lo yishtei yayin, all of the limitations. Shimon Gamliel omer yishaner, but Shimon Gamliel says, as we had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda saying, Yishaneh, meaning he should do differently, and now we'll get an explanation of what Yishaneh means. Am Rabbi Yehuda, kitzad Mishaneh, what do you do different? If you normally eat 2 cooked items at a meal, yuchal min echad. So if you normally have chicken and rice, so you just have one. If you normally have 10 people at your table, you have fewer people, 5 people at the table. In other words, you change it in one way or another, so that it's less festive, less sumptuous, less extravagant than a normal meal. And by the way, this is extremely subjective, because it all depends on what you're accustomed to. Seems very extravagant, but if you're used to drinking 10 cups of wine at the meal, then you drink 5. When do any of these limitations apply? Only in the afternoon. But in the morning, mutar. Tanya idach, we have another braita. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yechal adam shnei tavshilin, lo yechal basar v'lo yishtei yayin. The very mayor. Mayor says that on Erev Tisha B'Av, you can't eat 2 cooked items, meat and wine, etc. V'chachamim omrim yishanat. Now notice, it's Rav Meir who said that mourning begins on Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, they made no mention of meat or wine or cooked items, except for Erev Tisha B'Av. Chachamim, who here take the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda, following him, say yishanat, just do things differently. By the way, which is lenient. It means you don't have to avoid meat and wine. Just avoid the extravagance that you normally used to, do a little less. In other words, have less meat and wine. Ketzad ma'et, how do you have less? If you're used to eating a lot of meat, a measure of meat, eat half that measure. If you're used to drinking a lot of wine, drink half that measure. If you're really not accustomed to drinking at all, then asur, then indeed it's asur, because drinking wine here would be going in the opposite direction, making the meal more festive. If you're used to eating some sort of salted fish or radish or something after your meal, that you don't have to change. You can do that because there's nothing festive about that. That's for diet purposes or for breath or whatever. Anytime that you're eating, and this is the meal that you're eating in order to fast on Tisha B'Av, meaning it's your last meal, you're not allowed to have meat and wine. Anything that's not Tisha B'Av, which could either mean another fast day, but likely here means it's Erev Tisha B'Av, but you're going to eat again. In other words, it's not your last meal. Mutar lechol basar v'lishtot yayin. You're allowed to have meat and drink wine. Va'asur lechotz, but you are not allowed to bathe. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi omer mishum aviv. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says in the name of his father, and as Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta said, kol sha'ash mutar lechol basar mutar lechotz. Any time at which you are allowed to eat meat, you're allowed to bathe. So he disagrees with Tanakama. Says the prohibition of bathing only kicks in when the prohibition of meat kicks in, which is at the last meal. Everyone should have a wonderful day. And Amir Tzashem, tomorrow morning, we will study the final passages of Masechet Ta'anit.